This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. K through 12 students have a lot to learn during their time in school: math, writing, sciences, and so much more. But some local business leaders feel school should also be a place where students learn the social and emotional skills they need to be successful. Character Lives is a regional program that teaches students how to be leaders in their school and eventually their community. Joining us to talk about how the program is impacting schools and students are John Norlin, education consultant and creator of the Character Development Curriculum, Marvin Wanders, local business leader and a founding member of the nonprofit group Cooley Region Whole Child, and Bridget Hubbard, a teacher at Onalaska High School using the Character Lives curriculum. So first, the Character Lives program is based on curriculum that you developed, John. And so I wonder if you could just start by explaining the basic principles of what the purpose of this program is.
Sure, absolutely. And even to clarify though, so the Character Lives is a local nonprofit who is really a unique thing that has happened, where community leaders, like you mentioned, have come together to say, we want to get behind this and support this work, where in being all over the country in different states, this is the first place I've ever seen that happen. And so they took the Character Strong curriculum that we created and said, we want to support this. And so you've got that local nonprofit that is the Character Lives piece. To your question about what is the basic principles behind this, I think a simple way of putting it is this. Instead of it just being a good idea, now what we're finding is research is not just suggesting but showing that if all we do is focus on end-of-the-year test scores, which a lot of times schools are forced to and encouraged to and judged upon, that if all we do is focus on that, we're only giving kids half of what they need to be successful. And so when you look at then, well, what's the other half? And so then you start to bring in things like social-emotional learning and character development. And they really are two things that are going side by side and should come together more. So a true SEL curriculum is going to have things like self-control, self-awareness training, different relationship skills. But then the character piece actually gets beneath that. So instead of it just being about skills, it gets more to the purpose piece and the why piece and what does it look like to put strong character into action that drives why I should be doing those skills. So hopefully that's a way of framing that work. We know it's important for kids' success, and we know that there is a way to teach this, and getting it into teachers' hands so that they can do it is an important thing that we're trying to do.
Why did you want to develop this curriculum?
I think it could go all the way back to my own experience of seeing what it had done for me. Now, I didn't have the actual curriculum. I was exposed to some of this. It changed my mindset when I was in school, including really changing me from a pretty indifferent student in high school to one in which my senior year I stepped into a student leadership position. And because of a really caring educator who encouraged me to focus more on serving others instead of about myself, I ended up standing at the front door of my high school my senior year for 180 days greeting students. It was doing that that really taught me what that can do, not only for my own personal character development, but what it could do for an entire culture and climate of a school. That's why I wanted to go into education. So then going into teaching, that's what I wanted to teach. But then when you get into teaching, because it's not math, science, English, there's not just a curriculum out there for you to teach. So it had to be homegrown. So starting to pull different things together and that time-testedness, you know, of over a decade teaching this, what we were able to do is really put together a really solid, tight curriculum that not only someone like myself who created it could do, but other teachers as well. And it's right on kind of the wave of what we call the whole child movement that is coming in our country right now, which is education in general, understanding that there is an importance of teaching the other side, so to speak, and what are we doing to do that. And so the unique piece for us is that there's lots of curriculum at the elementary level that's out there and offered for schools. Far less when you get to the middle school level. And when you get to the high school level, there's almost none. And so what we've done is been able to fill a space where there's a need, but actually something there that teachers can use. And so then you think about the uniqueness of this area. It's a servant leadership hotbed in the La Crosse, Onalaska, Cooley region area, where you've even got a university that has a servant leadership master's degree in Viterbo that lots of the local community leaders have. And so no wonder it's this place that has this unique thing that's happening to drive this into schools. So
John, as you pointed out, Character Lives is a local initiative. And Marvin, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, why local business leaders really wanted to incorporate this curriculum into schools.
Well, there's several reasons why we think it's important. One, when we're building our community and our region and we're creating economic development and sustainability, we know the young people are the next generation that will be running our hospitals, our companies, our schools. And so to have people of strong character in those roles running those organizations, I think everyone can look at that very quickly and say that matters. The other thing is we want to give our young people the tools that if they choose not to stay locally and they go somewhere else, they have a strategic advantage. But a lot of times they end up back in our region. And when they end up back in our region, we want strong leaders of character running those organizations. It builds a really healthy, strong, vibrant community. And we're competing on a world marketplace, right? So as we have and train leaders up from a very young age, it's going to impact our region in the future.
Did you feel like there was a need for more of this, more of these skills to be taught in local schools before you guys started this program?
So I think we can go beyond just local schools. There is always a need to increase our own character and who we are as people. Life is a process and we never stop growing, right? And so it matters in schools, but it matters to businesses too. And we do this on a regular basis in our business and a lot of other businesses too. We're constantly putting resources in our people to give them the skills, the life skills, you will, in order to run our organization. So to have the business community see this and to be able to reach out and provide the tools necessary to our schools, I think is a pretty easy step to bridge, right? And the other thing that I think is important in this and part of our motivation is, you know, teachers, administrators, they're some of the key fabric to our communities and our young people's lives. It's necessary that we support them as a community in their roles. And we have an obligation to do that. It matters. And so that was part of our motivation as well. We want to be active in the schools, and we want to do our part and provide the resources necessary.
Bridget, you teach at Onalaska High School, but, you know, I wonder if there are, you know, factors to this that you feel like was attractive to all the schools that are involved in this program. You know, what really maybe caused educators to want to incorporate this curriculum?
I think that as a leadership curriculum in general, I've been looking at different curricula, you know, for over 20 years. And this is the first one that really put everything together, that made sense, that really got to, as John said, under what we needed to do to start with that character building and to really share with the fact that everyone, as Marvin said, needs to work on that character. It's all about the practice. It's an everyday. We can all take a step back and take a check. And the character strong curriculum does that. It's important in an educational setting that we have those things that we can teach students that they can put into practice, and we can also assess them. And this is, you know, this curriculum does all of that. It really puts the meat to what it is that we want to, in what, you know, many people refer to soft skills. I refer to them to as necessary skills for survival in our world, and it really makes it makes sense to the students.
Were these soft skills, this leadership training, part of the curriculum at Onalaska High School before this, or is this kind of, you know, this principles of leadership class that you're teaching as part of this curriculum, is this new?
The course itself is new. The concepts I think we teach on a daily basis. I mean, we all want our students to, you know, be patient and be honest and be humble in terms of what they do on a daily basis. But taking it and putting it together and showing students how it works into the servant leadership methods, it really brought everything together. So it is a new concept in terms of a new course. Again, kind of pulling all those pieces together.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a local initiative to incorporate character development training in local schools. We're here with Bridget Hubbard, teacher at Onalaska High School, John Norlin, education consultant, and Marvin Wanders, a local business leader. Marvin, I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about how this Character Lives program is funded and kind of, you know, how this initiative, I guess, got started.
Yeah, so it really started with the fact that Festival Foods was moving to a new support center, and Dave Scogan was looking on what to do with his existing facility. And as you know, their organization is a servant leadership-driven organization, and so that was a natural idea to look at that and say, this should be a servant leadership building. It was set up for that. And out of that discussion, community members started coming together and saying, how do we make this come together? How do we put this together? And so we started meeting with school administrators, and really they gave us a lot of direction on, we don't need a building and busing people. What we really need is the curriculum in our existing schools. And they said that loud and clear, and we followed their lead on that, and we understood that. But we are very motivated to stand in the gap and do what we could in order to move it forward. As far as funding this project, and that's what we're doing, is we're standing in the gap. And it's going to be a three-year gap. The total cost is $600,000 that we're going to raise to stand in the gap and make sure that our schools have the tools they need to successfully implement this program. And so we are at the beginning phases of fundraising right now. We've had incredible community support. Every business leader, social leader, hospital leader, whatever it may be you speak to, they're behind this and they support it. It doesn't take anyone very long to understand it. We still have some fundraising to do, but we think we're going to be able to get to the goal of the $600,000.
John, earlier you said that this is kind of a new take on the curriculum that you helped develop, this Character Strong curriculum. I wonder if you could talk about, you know, how other schools have used it and how they compare to what's happening here in the La Crosse area.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think what we found is that there's different things that different schools do that help with the successful implementation, you know, of this. And, you know, the idea even that Marvin's talking about with a lot of times what is needed to stand in that gap and make sure that it happens. I mean, it's one thing to just say, here's the curriculum and go. It's a whole nother thing to intentionally implement that. So when you find a what we call kid magnet or relationship-focused teacher, like a Bridget who's going to come in and passionately teach that, what we found in any school that is teaching this curriculum is that it grows. More kids want to take it, and I think that's saying something, that it's not about getting an easy A, or it's not about, what it's about is this is immediately relevant right now. And I always frame it this way. Unless I'm passionate about a subject area as a young person, I don't always see the immediate relevance to why I'm learning maybe science or math or English. Now, we know that it's really important, the thinking skills and all of that as a community, but I was super passionate about social studies and English. So I would say the famous, like, well, with math, I'm just going to use a calculator. It's like, okay, that's silly thinking, but I was also young. When you expose young people to this, they immediately see the relevance right now. Because relationships right now all around us and the character piece, whether it be with my family or my friends or the community, it's something right now that I either see solid examples of and I know why it's important, or it's the opposite. I was at a high school in the area today and gave a keynote presentation on the subject. Had a girl come up to me in tears afterwards, and she says, I connected with that talk because I didn't have this growing up. I'm a senior and I didn't have this. And I see how and why this is so important. And so I think what we're finding is that when it is implemented, unlike maybe a core subject area, what it does is it can infiltrate the entire culture of a school. So it's more than just a class. When you have a kid taking the class and then all of a sudden they're greeting their peers at the door. When you have a kid taking the class and then they're intentionally connecting with younger students. A great example is in the Tri-Cities area, which is in eastern Washington. We have a middle school that currently is doing this. And they went from a school that looked like they were going to be struggling with the amount of poverty and other things they were dealing with. And literally, like, they have news coverage on the school because of how they've turned the entire climate culture around. And every day there's staff and students that are not only passionate about being there, but are greeting students at the door, greeting in the hallways. They're cleaning up after lunchtime each day, intentionally working with the custodians. And they're doing these little things of character and action, which is at the core of what we're trying to do. Like anything else, we want them to practice little character skills instead of just going, well, kids should do this. Well, it's like not all kids have those skills. And I always frame it this way for teachers. In math class, if we were learning math and a kid was struggling in math, I would never kick a kid out of my class because he couldn't figure out the math problem. I would coach him up. I would work with him on that math problem. But what do we sometimes kick kids out of class for? Behavior problems. And the wrong mindset around that is this. We think, well, they should know better. Not necessarily. And so those character skill traits are something that we can also scaffold and teach. And if we can do it in a proactive way instead of where you're in detention and now we're going to teach you positive behavior, well, that doesn't work. It needs to be in a proactive way that can do that. So to answer your question, the things that we've been seeing most consistently from schools is that it takes hold of the entire culture and you get key students who are walking the talk more regularly and then more kids are even learning even though they're not in the class. And then you've got some really cool things that are happening because they're not even in the curriculum, but they're learning from students in Bridget's class who are setting that example daily.
Bridget, I mean, can you give an example of one of the biggest takeaways you hope kids take away from your class?
I always tell my students that, we're going to walk through this curriculum for a semester, and we are going to dive into what it means and what it does. But it really doesn't matter what we do inside, my classroom 122. It matters on when they walk out the door and as to what happens and what they choose to do. There's so many things that we do. Written into the curriculum, there are 40 days of character dares. And as John was saying, the students, they understand what they can do because they walk out that door and they do that character dare. They choose to do it or not to do it based on maybe their comfort level. So maybe they have to, write a note to a teacher that's done something for them, inspired them, or done something nice for them. They've actually physically can do that. And oftentimes they get feedback from that staff member immediately. And again, they see that connection of, if I build that relationship, can I then open the door to maybe understand that instructor better, understand that or make that connection with that math problem, science problem, whatever that might be. So again, it's really, yes, we're talking about the foundations within the principles of leadership class, but it's what they do when they walk out the door.
Marvin, have these skills that we're talking about and these, elements of strong character, have they always been necessary, or is this, like a new initiative or movement?
They have always been necessary, and they will always be necessary, and they're time-tested. They haven't changed. Humility has not changed. Character has not changed. Patience has not changed. Love has not changed. Those things will not change. How we operate as a society will change, that foundation will always be there, and it's all based on relationships. And having those strong relationships are directly related to what is our own personal character. If we're not comfortable in our own skin, it's really hard to have strong relationships with other people. And so I think that's a time-tested foundation. It's a principle that will not change. It's really cool that we have a whole community that is working on this. As a region, there's 21 school districts that are implementing this program. When you look at the ripple effect of what that means to us locally here, it's going to impact positively a lot of lives.
Bridget, why is school the best place to teach these skills?
Great question. I think that we have the opportunity on a daily basis to have that consistency with a student. I have a 13-year-old and an 18-year-old myself, and the same thing I say in class, that some student might just say, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I might say to my own children and they would look at me like, yeah, mom, whatever. I think that oftentimes as parents, we do say these things at home, and it's not a certain student that needs this class. Everyone needs the class. And to hear it from someone else and to see how they can practice this in a safe environment. I think that's the number one aspect of the curriculum, of building that community and that safe environment within that class so that we can practice these skills, because they take time. You know, it's not easy for people to be able to do these initially if they don't know what it looks like, as John said. And so again, it just gives us that opportunity to have that practice and to give kids a safe space in order to do it. We have a community within a community, you know, within our classrooms, and then we go out into the community or our school as a whole, and then out into the community. Again, there's several layers of where we can practice those skills.
John, you started to allude to this earlier, but I wonder if this represents a change in the role that schools play in kids' lives. You know, yep. we're seeing schools fill gaps for mental health services, yep. for health services. I mean, is this part of that movement?
Yeah, it's a great question. I once saw a great educational speaker, Rick Warmly, and he actually showed a list, and it was from like 100 years ago, here's what schools were asked to do. And it was a list of like five things, right? And then he's like, here's what schools are asked to do now. And he opened it up and it just like fell down onto the stage and was rolling off of the stage, because schools are being asked to do so much more than they used to. Now, when you think about this topic, I think there's a couple of interesting places to go. One, we just know based on brain science, we know based on research that these social emotional character skills are really, really important to student success. And is that not one of the responsibilities of a school, is to help students be successful? And so we know that you could have really strong intellect, but really strong intellect without strong character is a dangerous combination. I mean, you can have someone really smart who really is disrespectful and unkind, and it's like they're going to come into the world and do, right? So I think what I found is, in over a decade of teaching 250 students a day at the high school level for 10 years, I had zero pushback, and I taught a full load of these classes. And it was the parent who was really doing a great job with it. You know what they said? Same thing that Bridget just said. Thank you so much for saying it in another voice. It's like an athletic coach who goes, I just need someone else to say the same thing that I've been saying. And then what I was finding is maybe the parents who maybe didn't necessarily have the skills, because that sometimes is reality. Maybe kids aren't seeing necessarily strong character and action in the home. Those that were still involved in their kids' lives, you know what they said when their kids were presented this? Can you tell me more about fill in the blank, because their kids were learning it, it was relevant, and their kids were actually talking about it at home where they never were talking about other subject areas. And so I think it really, when it gets down to it, it's just this idea, like, who needs character development? Because at the core, I mean, that's a great question to ask. And sometimes we go to like the kid who's struggling or at risk, but it's like, no, everybody needs character development. Because even sometimes the examples we see are people who are in really big positions of leadership. Maybe they got big titles, but a lack of character in those positions, and you look at that and go, even our best and brightest need character development. And so at the core, that is something that we know is universal, and even when Marvin was talking about it, you look over our last 100 years as a country, there have been times when this kind of focus has definitely increased. Times where we go, oh, this is something that we need to pay attention to. And I think we've been teaching it for 20 years, but this is probably a time right now where people are just looking around and going, man, we need character development. And in many cases, at the secondary level, middle school and high school, we have kids at school more time than the parents actually see them in a given day. So once again, I think that's a responsibility. What are we doing to best prepare them for life and that kind of thing?
John Norlin, education consultant and creator of the Character Strong curriculum, is here with us today to talk about Character Lives, a local character development program offered by several local schools. Also joining us are Bridget Hubbard, teacher at Onalaska High School, and Marvin Wanders, a local business leader. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on how Character Lives is impacting students and the next step for the program. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about Character Lives, a new program that's incorporating social and emotional skills for students. A group of local business leaders are working to provide character development and leadership training for students to better equip the next generation of community leaders. Joining us to talk about the Character Lives program are John Norlin, education consultant and a creator of the Character Development Curriculum, Marvin Wanders, local business leader and a founding member of the nonprofit group Cooley Region Whole Child, and Bridget Hubbard, a teacher at Onalaska High School using the Character Lives curriculum. So Marvin, I wonder if you could talk about how many schools at this point are using the Character Lives curriculum and what that looks like.
Yeah, so there's a total of 21 school districts that are involved with it. And we've currently to date trained 75 high school teachers in the program. We purchased all the curriculum to get it into the school districts. Over the next 3 years, our goal would be to have 1,000 staff members trained in this program locally. When I say locally, I mean within our region. We feel by doing that, we're plowing deep, so to say, to get this into the schools and give the tools necessary to get the program up and running.
So in most cases, it's training the teachers and they're incorporating that into their existing curriculum.
Yeah, and they're actually doing classes that are semester-long classes based on the curriculum. So it's really real intentional and focused with what the goal of the classroom is.
Bridget, I know that you are using this as part of your Principles of Leadership class. You know, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the format of that class, if it's kind of the traditional teaching style or if there's something unique about it.
Sure. Well, the class is, depending on the day, at Onalaska High School is either 47 or 85 minutes in length, depending on what day we're on. But we come in and we usually have, within the 40 days of our character dares, we have a character dare conversation, so a 5 to 10 minute conversation on something that the students were to do. So, for instance, they needed to leave class one day and give 5 compliments to people that they wouldn't necessarily normally do. And then we come back and they have the question that's asked to them, truth or dare. Character dares are not required because if we would require them, they certainly may or may not do them. So we wouldn't want them to have to lie about something that they didn't do. So that if they didn't do it, they would say that, they would take the truth and explain why didn't they do it. Was it something that they forgot to do, they were uncomfortable doing? They have to then engage with the students that chose to take the dare. And again, we do that in a kind of a regular question answer discussion. Some days we really kind of drive a lot of that bridge into the topic then that is being focused on. John has incorporated a ton of multimedia in terms of showing examples with that have happened in the world. Pull out YouTube videos. We have discussions. The curriculum is set up that really someone could take it and day by day follow what he has, almost verbatim. Obviously, as an educator, we need to understand our classrooms and what works and what doesn't work and how we might have to group students and et cetera. But there's just a wide variety of things that I use in the classroom based on John's instruction, whether that would be small group, large group, having kids do things independently, and again, working through the curriculum together.
Who typically takes your course?
This is the first semester that we've offered Principles of Leadership, and I have students grades 9 through 12. They are mixed in the two sections, and I'll have another section second semester. I don't know that I could give a profile of a student because we do have a different variety of students. We have students who are just coming into the high school for the very first time who might have been looked at as maybe they had some leadership potential, and the content really kind of caught their eye. We have students who the question was asked, why did you take this class since it was a new class? About a third of the students replied that their parents recommended they take the class, and they went with that recommendation, which was wonderful. And then we have a student that might be a junior senior that has maybe had leadership roles in the school that decided to kind of take a look at What am I doing? How am I being that person that can make a difference? And what can I do within my school community to continue that? So I think there's just a wide variety of students. I've had the quiet kind of person that wanted to sit in the corner and really kind of test things out a little bit, who is now participating with the entire group. I've had the student who wanted to garner all of the attention, who is able to kind of be patient and relax and listen to what others do. So again, it's really a wide variety of students.
John, I couldn't help but notice you react to Bridget saying that, some students took our course because their parents recommended it. You know, why that reaction?
Well, I just think it even goes to this idea, like, what do we want most for our kids? What do we want most for our students, right? You ask any educator at the heart of going into education is they want this for their students, and you go to the heart of any parent, and I've done a lot of parent presentations, and when I ask the question, what do you want most for your kids? I don't hear hardly anything usually about academics. And it doesn't mean that they don't want them to learn academics, but always the things that they share are related to the character piece, things like I want them to have purpose, right? I want them to be passionate about it. I want them to be self-confident, all those things. It's like, okay, well, we hope that that's happening in the home, but how do we guarantee that all kids are also being exposed and encouraged to do that even when they're amongst their peers? In an ever-social world, when we think about social media and all of that, but social media at the core also has that core of it's all about relationships, but it doesn't always deliver on that promise. And it can actually make me feel very isolated. So it doesn't surprise me that when the word was getting out in this area that this was happening, that you had some parents saying, like, you need to take that class, you know, type of thing. And I think even just real quick, the character dare piece that was mentioned as a part of the class, I think there's a really interesting thing because even kids who don't necessarily daily do the dares, but maybe they pick truth, not truth like I didn't do it, but truth even like here's what I think about the dare, even if I didn't actually play it out, that some really cool things can happen. And I still remember a girl in my class who didn't really seem to be very interested, and I taught this for a decade. And in the end, when she turned in her tracking form, she had done, in her words, she had done 7 of the 40 character dares. And they go through different character traits like patience and kindness, humility, respect, selflessness, forgiveness, honesty, and commitment. We'll even take that idea of like forgiveness. Well, let's build that out for a second. Ask the average human being what they want most in life, and what will they say? I want to be happy. It's like, well, look around. How many people in your life do you truly see as genuinely happy? So one of the things we talk about with students is, what if we stopped living for happiness and started living for purpose? And you start looking at those character pieces and putting that in action as a way to practice what that might be. Well, then you take forgiveness. And out of those 8 essentials, forgiveness is the trait most closely connected to happiness based on research. When you hold on to grudges, when you hold on to things and you can't let go, it's really hard to be happy. So when you think about forgiveness, people a lot of times jump to like this big thing that I'm holding on to, when in reality, we should start small. So like, why don't we practice forgiveness in little ways daily? Like, you looked at me in a weird way, and instead of holding that against you, then I'm going to assume the best. So we practice little things. So this girl goes through these dares, and at the end of the semester, one of the most difficult forgiveness dares is forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Even if you don't give the letter, write a letter. What would you say? Da, da, da. And they don't have to give it, but they're challenged to write it. At the end of the semester, remember she did 7, she shows up to my class at the end of the day and says, I want you to read this. And she hands me a letter. And it's a letter that she wrote to her alcoholic father, who she only sees on the weekends. And it was a letter where she very clearly articulated, here's what your behavior is doing. Here's what it's done to our relationship. And here's what I need to change if we're going to continue to have a relationship. So she was very assertive. But she also in that letter shared, here's what I'm learning about humans. What I'm learning about humans is that everybody makes mistakes. What I'm learning is to separate the person from the behavior. So I'm not talking about you as a human dad. I'm talking about your behavior. I believe that you can change. And she lays it all out there, right? And I get done reading this letter and I go, man, this is powerful. Did you give this to your dad? And she hands me another letter. And that letter was from her father. And the first line said, nobody's ever loved me enough to tell me the truth. And I go on to read this beautiful letter. He tells his daughter about the first day that she was born and this beautiful gift that she gets to receive, about like how his whole world changed and all of this. And he goes on to make no false promises. But by the end of the letter, what he says is this: here's what I'd be willing to start doing today to be better for you in our relationship. And the way that I always say the end of that story is this: she did that dare. And it may not have been all of them, and it might not have been on that moment, but going through that process helped her to get to a point where not only she wrote the letter, but she actually gave it to her dad. And that's the type of thing that we see. And yet that's just the beginning of class for 40 days. And then they're actually learning lessons where you're digging deeper. So I think that's a good like context in some ways about how this plays out, and then give students a space to actually step into that, meet them right where they're at. It doesn't force them to do it, but is a big piece. And it's that whole like living for purpose versus just living for happiness.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a local initiative to incorporate character development training in local schools. We're here with John Norland, education consultant, Marvin Wanders, a local business leader, and Bridget Hubbard, a teacher at Onalaska High School. John just gave a great example of you know, how this curriculum can really make a difference in students' lives. And, you know, Marvin, I wonder if you can talk about kind of some of the secondary benefits of not only, you know, having students learn these skills, but, you know, how that can impact other areas of their lives.
Yeah, first, it's really hard to follow the story by John, right? That's very motivational. I mean, I think that gets to the heart on why as a community this matters and why we should be doing this. You know, there's not too many things that we do in life on a daily basis where we don't get to make a choice. And those choices are either positive or negative based on the decision we make. What determines whether they're positive or negative out in the real world really comes internally. Who are we as a person? And that's what boils down to character. Right. If you don't have a strong, solid foundation based on character and the traits that we've been talking about here today, it's going to be really hard for you to positively impact those people around you. So I don't know what you could do in the morning that doesn't involve these life skills throughout the day. We get to make hundreds and hundreds of decisions a day. And at the end of the day, we make those decisions based on our character.
Bridget, you know, it sounds like what this course does is really help students mature and reach a, you know, a social and emotional maturity that they didn't have before. I wonder if you've seen that in your students.
I have. Like I said, we've had students in you know, from all grade levels in our high school and really at all different points. And as John had, you know, pointed out, it really... It might not be today. It might be sometime else. But we, you know, I just recently had a light bulb moment with a student who I knew that class was difficult for her. It was very different than other classes. She wasn't always comfortable, you know, discussing those kinds of things, and. Right before Thanksgiving, we wrote some notes to staff members, and or just people within our school, and she said to me, "I can't do this. I'm not able to do this." And I said, "Like, okay, that's fine. I just want to remind you that you know, sometimes we need to put ourselves out there, and we need to do things that aren't always comfortable, and jump out of that comfort zone." And I had just shared a story with them about how I was doing that myself, and she went back to her seat and sat down, and everyone else seemed to be writing, and she did get up and get a thank you card. And the very next day, I said to the students, you know, did anyone receive any feedback? Not that you always need to get feedback right away, but I said, I kind of heard that, you know, it was a buzz around the mailboxes, and I was hearing some really positive things, and her hand shot up, and she had a smile on her face, which I'll be honest with you, I hadn't seen, and she said, I got a hug. And that was like, you know, the whole class didn't really know how to respond because she had put up some resistance. And even in some small group kind of settings, and one of the other students who was younger, she was a senior, and he got up and he gave her a high five. And he just said, that's really cool. So, you know, we see that at all kinds of levels and you know, just what it's doing for other staff members. Other staff members had said, well, you know, I got this note from this student. When have I done that for my peers? So they went to their desk and they sat down and did some other things too. So, again, that ripple effect and really, you know, putting those things in within that first semester within our building.
Yeah, you mentioned a ripple effect. I mean, John, can you talk about how, you know, this program can not only impact individual students who take the course, but, you know, that piece about how it changes the climate at schools?
Yeah, I think even just think about that topic of like empathy right now and how important empathy is and how we're seeing even in studies that empathy is declining. And so I think it's even like when you get exposed to this work, one of the things that it does when you're being given character challenges and you're learning about different character traits is empathy naturally becomes a part of that. And so even in the example that was just given by Bridget, it's like, what happens when a student gets exposed to this idea of, you know, sometimes the people that are the hardest to give kindness to are those that need it the most. And even just having a conversation and a space for that, because we don't, starts to change perspectives. And I usually add to that conversation, what I've learned in my experience is that hurt people hurt people. And when you can get that going and then actually get practice in that where I'm going to treat you well on purpose, not because I felt like it, because feelings will get in a way a lot of times. And even getting students to understand like choice-based love versus feelings-based love. And how many times did I never go there, never show empathy because I just didn't like the way that you responded to me, or I didn't like the way that you behaved or acted. And so when you can get students starting to do that, when they're just simple things like walking down the hallway of a school, the way that they acknowledge each other or don't acknowledge each other, the way that older students reach out to younger students, and even just learning names or connecting with them. Just it's kind of like the idea of the everyday little interactions that add up to much more. That's what we're trying to get students to be more intentional about, because those little acts, those little choices, as Marvin mentioned, are actually the thing that makes that big thing that we're trying to create, like a strong climate culture, a safer school environment. It's what makes that happen. Bullying prevention programs don't work. The reason why they don't work is because, one, we shouldn't be naming it that, right? We need to be doing something that actually is at the proactive side and goes deeper than that, that prevents that from happening. So when we can get students and staff to be intentional, which that's hard, because over 70% of our day is built on habits. That's from the book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And it's like, okay, well, if over 70% of my day is habits, that's kind of scary, because that means I'm doing a lot of things without thinking. So maybe I should be a little bit more intentional with what I'm doing. And now what we know around like, the neuroscience and stuff is that the more that I practice it, I actually can start to lessen the habits, the neural pathways in my brain, and create new ones. But that doesn't happen in a week. I don't become kind in a week. I don't become kind in 21 days because I heard once that's what it takes to build a habit. No, this is a process. And sometimes it's a painful process. But I think anybody that's exposed to it knows that it's a purposeful and important process, and that's why they're willing to go through it. And that's what's great about getting it into schools and giving kids an opportunity to dig into that and then to see the results in their own personal relationships, but watch how that then changes a school community. I mean, just recently a great example is in our own local state. For over a decade now, we have students from schools that after athletic contests, instead of just leaving like everybody else, including the adults, you know what they do? They stick around and clean up the stadium. Not only in their own school, but like when they're on the road at other, like, and they're still, it's almost every week in the fall during football season that you'll see a local newspaper or news agency who the story that they reported on was not as much the game as it was, I just saw cheerleaders after the game cleaning up the stands at the football stadium. It's like, I know where that came from. That came from one specific student who over a decade ago, his name was Eric Swanson. He took the class and he intentionally set this up. And you know what? The ripple effect has been hundreds of schools across multiple states, and they have no idea who Eric Swanson is. So that's a great example of how this can take place and change an entire climate and culture. And what if we can get like a lot of high school students, middle school students who are thinking that way? And it's the age-old quote, I think it's from Peter Drucker, that no leader is worth their salt that isn't willing to set up and take down chairs. And if we can get students thinking, I'm never too big to do the littlest of things to improve my community, to improve my family, to improve, that's something that I would get behind any given day. And I think a lot of parents and community leaders would agree with me.
John, you've introduced this curriculum at a lot of different schools. And I wonder if there are takeaways from other schools that have done this for the La Crosse area.
Yeah, takeaways in terms of implementation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think unlike other curriculums where it's like, okay, we're going to teach this and we need to implement the way that we're teaching this language arts curriculum or this math, right? And so there's different pieces we need to do to make sure that we're competent in that area. When you infuse this, if you do it right, it becomes an entire, when I say community, that's what I love about what's happening here, but it should be an entire community approach. So it's not just a class. what we're talking about next is how do we get our coaches on board? How do we get a specific group of students who are the elected leaders on board actually living this out? How do we get the teachers on board where even though they're not teaching this, we get them practicing and role modeling what this looks like in action? And so then it becomes a part of who you are, and it's just that the class is a way that we're driving this forward and going deeper with it, and that's what makes it unique. So schools that do a really intentional job of going, this is not just a class, this is going to be a part of our culture, this is who we are, and so they bring in all those different pieces and they market it as it, like the news agency that's going all over these schools and Tri-Cities. Well, it's because it's become who they are and they're seeing it in the output of these students who are then giving back to their community, giving to each other, giving to their families, and that's a news story that's worth talking about. And so that's what we've seen, is that they look at it as an entire, like, this is a culture piece, this is not just a class. And then there's lots of things that you can do to then add on to that, to then continue to almost put like fuel on the fire that continues to burn.
That's John Norlin, education consultant and creator of the Character Strong curriculum. He's here with us today to talk about how schools in the La Crosse area are working to incorporate social and emotional skills into their curriculum. Also joining us are Bridget Hubbard, teacher at Onalaska High School, and Marvin Wanders, a local business leader. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And John was just talking about how, you know, schools that have found the most success have really, you know, gotten the community to buy in. And so, Marvin, I wonder, you know, what Character Lives and the Cooley Region Whole Child Program are doing to make sure that there's that continued community investment.
Yeah, so we're doing several things. One is we're making sure that our teachers have the resource they need and understand the program and know how to implement the program. That matters at the end of the day. And so John has been coming out here on a regular basis, taking time away from his family to share with our community, which is greatly appreciated. We feel as a group by reaching out and supporting our teachers, and if we're doing this right and we're implementing this right, they're going to have a ripple effect within our community, and we think that that's happening. This process is not a beginning and an end process. This process is a lifelong process, and it's a skill that we will, until the end of our life, we will have to continue to develop. And so we want to give the teachers and the school districts the resources to effectively implement this. We also want the teachers and the administrators to know that the community supports what they do on a daily basis, because they have tough work. To go to school on a daily basis and do what they do is not easy work. And so for the community to step up to the plate, fund this program, stand in the gap, give them the resources, I think that's the least the community can do to make sure that the teachers that are in the trenches every day working so diligently have the resources that they need to be successful.
Bridget, you know, as a high school teacher, I'm sure that you know that students feel the pressure to get in all the right courses to graduate and to be a successful candidate a lot of times for secondary education, whatever that might look like. And so I have to imagine that there is maybe some tension there of, you know, looking at taking principles of leadership versus math or science or English. And, you know, I wonder what the argument would be to take away from other courses to take this course.
Having been an elective teacher for the past 23 years, that's always been something that I've worked on. But I think that as our students and many of our parents and our other staff members, our coaching staff, et cetera, have noticed is that You can take all of those classes. You can take the math and science and everything that you need to be prepared. But as we've talked about today, if we really don't have that foundational character and that those skills, how are we going to put that into action? My own daughter graduated last year, and she said, "Well, I guess I was a year too late on that one." And she's seeing now how she's behind in some of the areas when she's on our college campus. So stories like those, I think that we need to share with families that it's one semester, but what that one semester can do in terms of opening those doors for the future is extremely important. So again, I think there's an argument for anyone that this class is for anyone. And, you know, we might get creative. We have resource periods and summer classes and different ways that students can fit that in because we know that it's a competitive world. And so, again, we're willing to consider those other options for students along the way.
And very briefly, you know, after teaching this course now for the first year, I wonder if there are things that, I don't know, you're hoping to improve upon or do differently as you continue to teach this course in On Alaska.
Well, just as character is something that you always need to work on and always need to practice, as an educator of 24 years, I always need to practice. And again, delivering something for the first time, I've made notes and will always make improvements on what would work best, you know, and most of it is just scheduling-wise and those types of things. But again, this curriculum makes sense beginning to end, and it's something that I'm very comfortable with working in and again, sharing with the students that are in front of me.
We've been talking with Bridget Hubbard, a teacher at On Alaska High School, Marvin Wanders, a local business leader, and John Norlin, an education consultant, about Character Lives, a local program that schools are using to teach kids about leadership and character development. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.